Hello and welcome to BHTV, your guide to the talent, culture, and finance side of the space startup ecosystem. My name is Matt Jurtzen from Better Everyday Studios. I am joined by Seika Majur of Ad Astra Talent Advisors.
Hey.
And we are also joined by Justice Killian of Space Capital.
Hello.
I am so excited to be chatting with both of you today. Today, the focus is going to be on something that's a question I'm actually really interested in the answer to this question of, it's basically hiring today, hiring for today versus hiring for tomorrow. And to set up the question, I have a little bit of background because, so before I went out on my own at a previous company, it was at a startup that was growing really, really quickly. It grew from like 500 people to 2,500 people in 18 months. And so the challenge with the hiring process was always, we'd be talking to people and saying, hey, you're gonna be the first person in this role. You're gonna grow this department. And they would be the first person in that role. And the idea would be that we're gonna grow this department, but within 6 months, the needs of that role were like way bigger. Like the head of role now needed to be like a CFO role or some or whatever. And they hadn't grown in that fashion. And so ever since then, I've always felt like there was this tension of, do you hire for today or do you hire for tomorrow? Have you all seen that tension?
Absolutely. Every transaction that we end up doing, we're thinking about who are the right people to hire immediately following capital going into the company, and then what we're trying to achieve 18 to 24 months down the road to be able to hit the milestones that we need. And so we're very intentionally thinking about who has to literally fill the seats today and who can sort of grow into the roles, the milestones, the upcoming transactions, and where we're going to need to, you know, find people down the road. So it is particularly challenging, and you know, it's really important to sort of start those conversations early with founding teams and bring in really thoughtful recruiters that can sort of help think through key positions. Seika,
yeah, I mean,
you were going to say something. Yeah.
I love this question so much. I have so much to say. You guys are going to have to
tell me
to cut it off. So a particular area of interest and kind of zone that we lean into, right? When we're working with startups, not only are they cash conscious, can't hire three people to cover this breadth that of expertise. You need one person who can do a whole lot of that. But we also need people who are going to be able to have the legacy knowledge of the startup over the next few years, right? So looking for somebody, we affectionately term them these like head of roles, and they're it's kind of ambiguous, right? But there's someone who's able to actually build the technology with their own hands, but who has the scope and the expertise to be able to grow, mentor a team, and understand strategy. So they've got this kind of leadership executive element to them, but they haven't been in a leadership or an executive role for so long that they're removed from actually doing the technical work themselves. And they're able to come in, build the thing, and then build the team so that they're able to kind of stretch for that role.
Interesting, because I think that right there, that's what makes it that unicorn person, because I feel like if they have too much leadership experience, then they're almost like bored, or they feel it's beneath them to be like doing the actual stuff that needs to be done today. And so you can't have that, but then you have a knowledge gap on the other end. So is that just it? Is it just kind of finding a needle in the haystack, and that's what makes it hard?
Yeah, it's so a few things there. So one, maybe they find it boring, maybe they think it's beneath them, or maybe they just haven't done it in 5 to 10 years. Because if they were at a company, you know, if they're not at a startup where they have to be wearing all of these hats, if they're at a larger organization, their role may purely be that strategy. And maybe they were an awesome electrical engineer 5, 10 years ago, but now they're managing electrical engineers. They just don't do it as much. And so you can't put someone like that in a role where they need to be building the technology, which speaks a little bit to where you're getting that sort of talent, right? Can you pull someone like that from a Raytheon or a Lockheed, right? Is that even possible? Do you need to be looking at startups for those sort of people? And so, yeah, a lot of it is clarity on where to look and clarity on what the skill set is.
Just as when for the companies that you work with, I suppose, how often does this prove a difficult part of not just the hiring piece, but like as they grow, of like getting people who can grow with the company, and because they're not able to grow their skill level or whatever it is, it's kind of like putting a top on the company.
I think most often what you see is so that first 10 hires that comes in, it's going to be people that can immediately execute and cover a broad set of topics, right? Oftentimes they're going to have a pretty proven track record, and as the company grows, they're going to be able to then specialize or verticalize and start to build out a functional area. The trick I think becomes when you want to find that next layer down, the heads of, and grow them into sort of, leaders of an area. They've mostly been down in the weeds executing, but have a really strong track record, in their personal goals, in the interviews, they want to take on more management, more leadership. You believe that they can. But that's not something that you could typically learn on the job. Oftentimes, it requires coaching, it requires mentorship, it requires development. And so, in a high growth startup, that can be really challenging to be able to build in a short period of time. People can do it. Executives have to be willing to sort of dedicate a meaningful amount of time to sort of coach. I think, if you have strong leadership at the top with very clear communication, the ability to sort of provide the resources and provide constructive feedback, it's easier to build that culture. But I think it is this intersection of personal goals, clear communication, and then, direct coaching that can allow people to grow into that. And I think honestly, you'll have to be like brutally clear if, the person isn't showing that progression into the role. You have to say like, we hired you to grow. That's not possible. And so typically what you find is companies are less willing to do this, to invest in somebody's development. And so they go out there and they find somebody that's done it three, four, five times. And they're like, hey, let's bring these people in because they've got a track record of building this thing or doing this, part of the scale up. And it really, like you'll see specialization at different stages, right? C to Series A, Series B, Series B through D at high growth. And people then end up like really specializing in that. And they sort of do a rinse and repeat cycle every, 1 to 3 years. And so, it is that question then, are we going to go buy this talent and they have a playbook and bring them in and, or are we going to invest in somebody that we can build and sort of help grow into that? I would say in my experience, I've seen probably a tendency to prioritize the people that have already done it. I think personally that can sort of pigeonhole a company because it can create this bias towards, hey, this protocol or this program or this development process worked at another company. I'm just going to bring that playbook here and sort of follow the same patterns. And, as opposed to maybe approaching it from a first principle standpoint, what the company needs at that time, really bringing a fresh perspective. So I think that, those are some quick observations.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot actually relatively recently, where companies are starting to hit some pretty serious scale. They're building out a supply chain or whatever, and one of the places they often turn to is Amazon, this giant company that's done it before. They bring people in, and ev almost every time without fail, from the stories that I've heard, the next thing that happens is, oh, we need, meeting memos that everybody's gonna, they just try to take Amazon and put it in the company and in this other company. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but I can definitely see that pigeonholing. And I love what you mentioned about this idea that it's probably rarer for individuals to grow through that whole life cycle of a company versus being really great at the early, at the Series A, really good at this, at Series C or whatever, like those various stages. They have a toolkit that's like, and probably a personality that's really fit for that stage. You're nodding a lot, Seika. Is that kind of what you see, that specialization and stage of company?
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing that's interesting that we're kind of talking around right now is, you know, Justice, I was hearing you bring up, if you bring in somebody who's great at their technical expertise but doesn't yet have the leadership experience, very tough to grow in that while you're already probably juggling, right, three people's worth of roles. It's a lot to do. And if we bring somebody in without explicit communication, like you were talking about, without the explicit communication that you're doing the thing, but you need to figure out how to grow into this leadership or executive position in order for you to maintain or achieve that title. If it's just if there is some kind of, like, you know, vaguely mentioned expectations about promotion without clear milestones that need to be hit, you can end up with a really frustrated teammate who comes in saying, "Hey, I came in as, you know, an engineer building the technology, but I was told that I was going to be the director of this department, and that's now you brought somebody in over me. I'm now upset," right? The clarity needs to be there, and about how those milestones are going to be hit in order for that promotion to be achieved. Or, like we're talking about right here, you're bringing somebody in who has already been in this role, who's had, yeah, has a playbook. They understand how to re get reps at a company that's scaling, and they've been in this precise position before.
I'd be curious, Matt, you know, your perspective, building and sort of investing and sort of developing that leadership capability. Do you think it's best fostered, or, you know, when you get involved with folks, does it tend to be larger companies? Does it tend to be smaller companies? What have you observed is the right environment to start to develop those and hone those skills?
Yeah, training is kind of a tricky thing with this and developing folks, because, like, for the first thing, just even if we're not talking about kind of the leadership or people side, if we're talking about the technical skill side, but in order to train somebody, you have to know what you're doing first, right? And very often in these early stages, they just don't know what they're doing yet, or they don't know what they're doing at any kind of scale yet, and so they haven't had the reps to really fine-tune the process. So a lot of the technical stuff doesn't make sense to bring in a lot of training yet, and that's why the investment in buying that talent, hiring that talent is so important. From the perspective of the leadership side, I think it can be tricky, because, again, I think in order you have basically two options. You can go the same route as the technical side and say, "We're figuring this out," because the best leadership training is always going to be rooted in the culture of the organization. And just like with the technical stuff, maybe you don't fully know what the culture is supposed to be yet. And so you want to give that a little bit more time to mature, and you let things potentially be a little bit more chaotic in the near term. Or, I mean, honestly, like, my whole premise of what I'm trying to do right now is figure out, like, what are some foundational elements that will work across any culture that anybody can have as kind of a starting place for leadership, and use that as kind of a bridge or a band-aid until you get to something larger. So, you know, in my experience, I would say the majority of folks, the majority of organizations do kind of treat the technical skills and the people skills the same way and say, "We're just going to buy it and see what happens," and accept that that's going to lead to some churn. I think that's a perfectly valid option as long as you are open eyes about it and what it means. And I do think it's possible, but it's to do the other way. But I don't think many folks pick that in my experience. So it sounds like if I were to summarize kind of this question based on what you've both been saying of, you know, how do you thread that needle? How do you prioritize hiring for today versus hiring for tomorrow? What I heard is the number one priority has to be hiring for today. You are hiring to solve the problems of today. And the way you think about the needs of tomorrow is you use that to inform the way you communicate to the person that you are hiring. Of this is what you need to solve today. You have the opportunity to grow with the company, but in order to grow, you're going to need to do this. And as long as that's kind of like there's open transparency about that and everybody's aware, then we avoid kind of, say, what you were mentioning of, you know, "Hey, I thought I was going to be the head of the department, and now somebody was higher on top of me." You avoid all that stuff. Does that sound about right?
I think that's fair. Yeah.
That's a great summary.
Awesome. Well, I love it. That answered my question. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to have gotten that those experiences from you, because you both have much more experience at those early stages. So I hope other folks out there in similar stages will find that helpful. And I look forward to talking to you all again. This is a lot of fun. We're going to keep tackling questions like this using some real-world examples. So I look forward to talking to you all next time.